This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Orioles win in spring training baseball 11-8. Man, late innings in spring training games are always fun. Let's talk some baseball as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. He's the Hall of Famer, Tim Kirchen from ESPN, covering Major League Baseball. And Tim, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. We've now had the offseason in the rear view. Orioles could still make a move conceivably before the start of the season. But what do you think of this team as it's currently constituted as we head into the season?
It's a playoff team. I'm pretty sure of that. I don't see them being the best team in the division. I think the Yankees are better than they are. I think the Red Sox have moved much closer to the Orioles with what they did. But I still think they're a playoff team. They've got some work to do. I'm a little surprised they didn't do more in the offseason, but their bullpen is sneaky good, especially if Felix Bautista comes back and is really good like a couple of years ago. But overall, it's a little confusing, but I still think, I'm still pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs with the team they have.
Well, Tim, I think one of the bigger question marks on this team is the starting rotation, where Tomoyuki Sugano, he's a complete question mark. Charlie Morton entering his age 41 season. Grayson Rodriguez, multiple stints on the IL last year. What do you think of their rotation?
Well, it needs some work. That was where I thought they would upgrade, and they didn't. Charlie Morton has an amazing arm, and I still think he's got really good stuff even at his age. But I look at their rotation, and even though Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin are pretty good one and two, I'm just not sure you're going to get more than 160 innings out of your ace. Grayson Rodriguez has ace stuff, but with injury issues, I think you need to find out if he's ready to go 180, 200 innings, and do they have enough starting pitching? My guess is for the moment, their starting pitching is a little weaker than it should be, especially with all these injuries. But I think they can hit their way through it. Bullpen's good. But, yes, they could use some work and some help in that rotation.
We had Freddie Gonzalez on the show last week, obviously a multi-time major league manager and Brandon Hyde's right-hand man. Here in Baltimore up until he wasn't. And we asked him about Tommy Pham and some of the names that we were kind of focused on last season when it looked to us like this team was a little too young and a little too naive probably for its own good. And he was gushing about it and saying, I was right there with you. I was politicking Hyder for it. Like, we needed a presence, someone to get these kids in line and to keep guys from overswinging and just someone who'd been there sort of done that. And not only did they not do that then, they haven't done it this whole offseason, which surprised him. I just wondered your reaction to that.
Yeah, I'm a big believer that with young players, you really need to bring a veteran presence in. Most really good teams have a wonderful mix of young guys and a couple of veterans at least who can show them the way. Now, Tyler O'Neill is not exactly in that category, no. But he's got a chance to be a very productive outfielder, hit a home run today. And but as far as showing people the way, yes, I thought they could go get another veteran who could show these young guys, you know, how to do this. But, you know, young guys are another year older, and it's time for them to say, all right, we've been really good for 2 years now, been in the playoffs, we've got to do more, we've got to do it now in October. But veteran presence always helps, no matter what.
Talking with Tim Kirchens, Inside Access here on The Fan. Tim, speaking of that, and by the way, as an aside, I've fallen into a rabbit hole where I'm watching these video clips of you, and I think it's your son telling baseball stories on your podcast, which are fantastic,
yes.
By the way. The Palmer one about him knowing exactly, was it,
Grand Slam.
Yeah. Like the guys who came up with the bases loaded knew exactly who they were. was amazing. So since you know more or forgot more about baseball than I know, the Orioles are trying to do it all young. Can you think of a team that has had – like I can remember talking to John Smoltz after the Orioles lost to the Rangers in the playoffs. And he's like, yeah, we brought in Sid Bream and Terry Pendleton, and that helped us get over the top. Can you think of a team that did it all young and succeeded?
Well, the Orioles have succeeded the last 2 years. But all
I mean
young
World Series,
and won the World Series.
Yes.
Well, that's a challenging question because, again, it really takes a veteran, especially a veteran in the starting rotation who walks to the mound like Jack Morris in 91 and says, all right, follow me, boys, and we're going to win the World Series here. So it's really, really hard to win the World Series without a veteran presence, especially at the top of your rotation. But, you know, that's what this season's going to be all about, how much of an advancement do the young players take? And then what are they going to do at the trade deadline, which, again, is a really important time. If they need somebody, they're going to have to go get them, because if they make the playoffs and have a third straight first round out, that's not going to be good enough.
Tim, I'm sure you saw owner David Rubenstein's comments at the beginning of spring training saying that there is no spending ceiling and all of the resources are there and empowering Mike Elias, but we have still yet to see a true multi-year deal contract given out. Tyler O'Neill, of course, has an opt-out after this year. Does it feel like the Orioles are being too passive in this wide-open window right now with all of these young guys?
There's certainly some truth to that, but you know, when you got people like you have with the catcher and the shortstop and with, you know, Jackson Holliday and others, you got to pick and choose. You got to know when to strike to sign these guys long-term. And I think they will sign two of these guys long-term because they have to, but Gunnar Henderson is going to get so much money in free agency. I mean, the Juan Soto contract is going to help him. He's 23 years old. He's got this incredible track record for such a young guy. He's a great player. And Adley Rutschman, if he comes back from that, you know, the poor second half that he has and establishes himself again as a premier young catcher in the big leagues, at some point soon, you're going to have to say, all right, we got to get one or both of these guys sign long-term, because it sends a message to the entire team, not to mention the fan base.
You've covered this sport for a long time. I think you probably have a unique perspective on this, the MLB Players Association and their strengths and weaknesses and certain things that are probably non-starters. What is your opinion on owners, especially owners who maybe have only been in the league for a year, kind of like talking about a salary cap or pining for a salary cap or wishing for a salary cap? Like, it doesn't do a whole lot for me because I just kind of think it's a bit of a waste of time and sort of grandstanding. But what do you think of that? Like, John Angelos used to talk about that, and I don't know. It just doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah, well, I covered the 81 strike, and we were talking about the salary cap back then,
mm-hmm.
and we're still talking about the salary cap. And again, this isn't breaking news, but I talked to some people in spring training, and I didn't find a whole lot of people who were encouraged about where baseball is going from a labor standpoint. Yes, there are some owners who say the spending is got to stop at some point, and the only way to stop it is to get a salary cap, when we all know from the 81 strike and every other work stoppage, we're not going to get a salary cap without something else happening here. So this is why people in the business and people in the industry are, it's early, but they're a little bit worried. If we're going to push for a salary cap and the union's going to push back, which it is, because it always has, then it's possible down the line that we could have some sort of work stoppage, and that obviously would not be a good thing for baseball. It never has been. I'll never forget the 94 strike, how long it took to come back from that. If it weren't for Cal Ripken and Lou Gehrig, you know, it would have stalled much longer. So let's hope everyone gets together on this. But at this point, I think there's a long way to go to get together.
Tim, last thing for you. We talk about the Orioles needing more pitching. There seems to be these names that are floated out about trade candidates pitching-wise. I know the Padres have a couple, King and Cease. I've seen Sandy Alcantara's name mentioned. Could you see a pitching trade, not necessarily the Orioles, but someone trading for a pitcher before the start of the season?
Yes, I think so. Dylan Cease is really good for the Padres, but the Padres are cutting payroll, even though they have a very good team. Michael King has tremendous stuff, and it's possible one of those two guys will be dealt. I'm not sure why I would trade either one, because if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to need both of those guys. And I saw the Marlins yesterday, and Alcantara has come back. He's throwing hard again. He's a former Cy Young winner. And since they are in a complete rebuild, I wouldn't be shocked if they traded not only their best pitcher, but one of the best pitchers in the game. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but yes, that name is out there. And, you know, when teams get to the end of spring training, end of March, and they're a little weak, maybe we'll see a trade there. But trades are really hard to come by, especially for quality starting pitching, because if you have them, you usually keep them.
Tim Kirchen, always great talking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, fellas, take care.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we continue talking some baseball. It's Twib Notes. We'll hear from Aaron Boone on Giancarlo Stanton, Alex Cora about his new pitcher, Garrett Crochet, and Dave Roberts talks about his new toy, Roki Sasaki. It's Twib Notes next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, over-designed, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Radford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year on The Fan.
And Carlo's a little behind, just dealing with some elbow stuff that he dealt with last year. Actually, both elbows, kind of really akin to tennis elbow, and just that he maintained and kind of played through, especially the second half of the year. So we want to make sure that give it that as much time. So we'll kind of probably slow play him a little bit.
So that's Aaron Boone talking about Giancarlo Stanton. He says he's got tennis elbow in both elbows, and they're slow playing him. When are we going to see Giancarlo Stanton in a Yankee uniform? Because it doesn't sound like anytime soon.
Look, for a guy who's been hurt as much as he's been hurt, and for someone who, let's face it, his import in that lineup is even more significant now, without Soto, and, you know, we'll see about Goldschmidt and how good he really is. And I suspect they take every precaution here. It's both elbows. He returned, you know, back up north from Florida, depending on which reports you read. It has more to do with the elbow than personal stuff, or more to do with personal business to tend to that he might as well do since he can't do a bunch of baseball activities down there. Either way, it's got to feel a little ominous for them. They took over this division because they started mashing the ball in the second half while the Orioles didn't, and Stanton was healthier. And remember, Judge had the slow month early in the year, and then Judge got back to being Judge, and they went and got a real bat in Jazz Chisholm, and Stanton was healthy in the second half, and that helped propel them. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a big deal.
His availability or lack thereof is going to be much more magnified this year, like you said, Jason, because of the fact that Juan Soto is not in that lineup. And just to illustrate how important Giancarlo Stanton is to this team, look back to the playoffs, man.
Yeah.
How many big moments Stanton had in the playoffs? Now, it has sort of become baked into the cake, Stanton missing significant time in the regular season, but him being hurt this early definitely is ominous.
Let's hear from Alex Cora, shall we? He's got a new toy in the starting rotation. They traded for Garrett Crochet, and Alex Cora talks about his plan to start.
We're in a good spot. Abby, who's starting on Friday? Van Belt is starting on Friday, Priester on Saturday, and Crochet Sunday.
So there you have it. He's going to start Sunday. Garrett Crochet, he looked pretty darn good in his first outing as a Red Sox.
I think he has a chance to be one of the real sort of X factors in this whole AL East. If he is first half Garrett Crochet last year, before the trade rumblings kicked up like crazy, before the bottom totally fell out on a White Sox team that was clearly going to go down as the worst in Major League history, like before they started really kind of manipulating his starts and playing the long game because it was clear they weren't getting any extension done with him and they couldn't afford to get him hurt, and then that decreases trade value in the hot stove. Like, I can't call it competitive because that team was never competitive, but like that stretch before we got to complete sort of like ridiculousness with everything White Sox related, including their play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
He was as dominant of a left-hand, like, I mean, you could put him there with Scooble. You could put him there with any nasty pitcher in the game, especially coming from that side. If he's that guy and he can bring it in that ballpark where expectations in the AL East and the level of competition will be higher, if he's anything close to that guy, that could be the AL Cy Young, and that could put that team ahead of the Orioles.
Totally. A total game changer when you acquire someone with that type of upside that Crochet has. Now, I guess one question would be, and it was a serious question at the deadline because of the innings restrictions, he threw 146 innings last year. I guess how much does that come into play this year?
I got to think they ride him pretty hard.
Yeah.
No, just a matter of how does he handle it.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, especially if they get anything back from
Giolito.
Yeah. You know, they and they've got a couple other young arms that they like. I mean, they might be able to ease off him at times. I think they could have enough depth in their rotation that maybe they, you know, do what a lot of teams are doing now, and you kind of have a de facto six for a while. But that's a special arm. And look, I don't know that much about the kid. Like, it might turn out that Chicago was the perfect place for him because it was no expectations, right? And a year ago, nobody was talking about Garrett Crochet because most people, including me, would have said, I can't believe a dude who couldn't hold up as a reliever, they're now going to try to make a starter.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff to this. And I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. He was a guy who gave me pause at the deadline for all those reasons. But if the Red Sox are right, I mean, that could be the most impactful move that's made in the entire division. That, to me, could be more impactful than Max Fried, more impactful than, like, I mean, whatever else you want to throw out there.
Max Fried's pretty
good. Tony Taters to Toronto at the end, like, whatever you think. Like, I think this could be more impactful than even Devin Williams. I think it could be, like, it could turn out to be the power move that was made in this division.
Coming up next here on the program, you know who makes power moves? Lucy Bird. She's an IA Hall of Famer. She's from BetMGM, and she joins us next here on The Fan. Yes, what would a Thursday be without the IA Hall of Famer from BetMGM, Lucy Bird, who joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Lucy, thank you as always for your time. We do appreciate it. Let's start with NFLPA report cards and the Patriots and ownership did not fare well. I was a little surprised about this. The stuff about the plane, I don't know if it's hysterical or sad. Like, they don't have, like, the Wi-Fi is one thing, but like, ashtrays still in the seats. So is this plane from the 1980s? Your reaction to all of that?
Yes. Well, good afternoon. It kind of is from the 80s. From what I have gathered in my research, this plane was built in 1991. Nice. And it was bought by Robert Kraft in 2017. And it was a big deal here when he bought this plane because it was the first NFL team to have their own plane that was owned by the team. And so there, I remember the Boston Globe had a photo shoot of the interior and this whole thing about the plane. It was a big deal. And now, you know, haven't heard anything about the plane in a long time, so you forget about it. And now this report comes out, and looking back, I don't think it's been updated since then. I mean, I thought, oh, surely it's been updated. But I haven't seen anything else except for the pictures from before of the interior of the plane where there are ashtrays. I would assume the Wi-Fi, you know, there's never been Wi-Fi, I guess. But looking at this plane now, looking back at that, it's every seat is a first class seat, which at the time was like, oh, that's awesome. But it looks a little cramped. There's like five seats. It looks like AI made it. It's like five seats in one side and everything looks wrong. And I could see why players might be not happy about the way the plane is constructed and the amenities that are on the plane, because these are big guys flying on this plane and you look, it's a little squished in there, and you would think that a billionaire like Robert Kraft would update his plane. It seems to be a point of pride for him that he uses his plane to fly home the UConn Huskies and other teams and fly N95 masks in during COVID, and this plane is important to him. I thought maybe it would be updated, so it was very interesting to see how the players actually feel about this plane.
Yeah, we did a segment on this yesterday with the rest of the 31 teams and all of the F's and F minuses and the blurbs that were really funny, but focusing in on the Bengals because they got an F minus for their cafeteria, their food. It was 32nd in freshness, 32nd in taste. Like,
sounds like our vending machines.
They don't give them three meals a day. Like, are they feeding these guys like expired frozen meals? What is that about, Lucy?
Yeah, I feel like you cannot have this rating and publish this without photos. I want photos of what this food looks like. What does this cafeteria look like? I want a journey, a food journey of what a day in the life of a player, what you get from the cafeteria. Because how bad is this food? I have a morbid curiosity now about how bad this food is. And looking back at last year's survey for the Bengals, it was the same thing. They got an F for their food. Why haven't they improved it? Would be my question. They also have said that they players have their own freezers, their own fridges, their own everything because they bring their own food. This is an NFL team, and I don't understand how this is still happening and how they have not improved from last year. But I can't imagine how bad this food is.
Your guy, Tom Brady, back in the news. This guy, man, we can't quit him. He's owning football teams. He's kind of half-assed broadcasting football games. He's, I guess, maybe still pining for Giselle on Instagram. Anywho, what do you make of this?
He seems to be back with that model again.
Yeah, but his heart.
He should
be. His heart. His heart's always in Brazil.
Lonely, yeah. No, I feel bad for Tom.
Oh, yeah, me
too. he's same place, same time with the Staffords.
Yep.
In Montana. I know you, Lucy, could not stare into those Tom Brady eyes and say no. Will the Staffords be able to, or is this a done deal?
Well, I don't know if any of this is legal, if this is tampering.
The league says don't worry about it. They don't care about this one.
I think this happened. Like, I feel like this meeting did happen, and maybe it wasn't such a coincidence, unless they did run into each other at the resort. And again, Tom Brady by himself at this Montana house, and he's like, you know what, Matt Stafford, would you like to come over and we'll just hang out, just a couple of bros.
Play some video
out.
Games.
Right, and so you know what, wouldn't it be great to be just theoretically, like the quarterback of the Raiders. Like, that would be such a fun life. And Matthew Stafford says, yeah. And so, you know, it's tough to say that Tom Brady invited him to his house and he's not going to sign with the Raiders. But I would probably say this is not a done deal. I still feel like the Raiders have their eye on Shedeur Sanders, but I think it is very telling that if Matthew Stafford signs with the Raiders, we know where that decision was made.
Talking with Lucy Burge, Inside Access here on The Fan. Spring training baseball has begun. Lucy, next to Jason, you're the biggest Red Sox fan I know. So I kid because I care. I assume you are all systems go on the Red Sox winning the World Series?
Oh, I am, yes. The optimism could not be higher, and it could not be more through every roof possible around here and around me, because this team has aura. As the social media account for the Red Sox tweeted out, this team has aura, and it's undeniable. And I will be seeing it firsthand the day after tomorrow when I will be in Fort Myers.
Nice.
Red Sox Twins game.
Heck yeah.
And I am looking forward to that. It's supposed to be, I think, 76 degrees, which will be just a blessing compared to the rains and dreary cloudiness that is going on in Boston right now. So I am looking forward to that, and I will scout the team, and I will let you know who is good, who looks good, who could use improvement, and you know, I'll send my notes to the Red Sox and see if they listen to me. But I will be planning to see, you know, get a handle on the situation and confirm. I'm assuming I will confirm positively that they will win the World Series this year.
Well, Lucy, going in a completely different direction. This weekend, I am going skiing for the first time in 6 years. I'm very excited. Have you ever been skiing? Do you like skiing?
So that is great for you. That's very exciting. I've never been skiing.
Never? Really?
Never,
no desire?
No desire. I have no desire to be outside in the snow. So I will need your review of skiing, though, because from what I have been told when I have said I don't want to ski because my family's never skied, like, it's never been anything that I've been interested in because it's so cold out. But I've said that to people who ski. My best friend Caroline had her wedding at the top of a mountain in Jackson Hole, where all there is to do is ski because she loves skiing and she was a ski instructor there, and it is ski central. But they say you're not actually cold outside because you're moving
That's
the entire
lie.
Time. Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
but you
I
live
will
in
need
Boston.
The review. I hate being cold.
I hate being cold too much. Don't get me wrong. I hate it.
I tried skiing once, and again, I was told it was a mistake to try it as an older person. You should try it young, but it was a miserable
experience.
See,
I skied a lot as a kid, and then went probably 10, 15 years without skiing, and I skied 6 years ago, and now I'm getting back on the horse.
I think those downhill skiing outfits, though, Luce, are pretty tight. I think those keep you pretty warm.
Well, okay, will you be tweeting out a fit check from the slope?
He should.
That would be amazing, and I think you should. You have to do that.
I don't know what they call that. You know what I'm talking about. Like, what's-his-face's girlfriend wore one to the game that time.
Yeah.
The Bengals backup quarterback, Browning. Bone in one of those. Is it like a onesie? I don't know. A skiing onesie? Like,
I don't know about that.
Skin tight? You're in shape, Bone.
That's totally. Well, when you go to purchase one, it's just called a jumpsuit, I believe.
Yeah, jumpsuit. Yeah. He's going with all married people, Luce, so the only way he's going to get any attention is if he does something.
This isn't
you
really
have
American.
To get the jumpsuit that she had, or get one, you know what? Great website, Fashion Nova. Go to fashionnova.com. They have jumpsuits like you read about. For men, or, if, you know, for anyone. And they have ones that, like, their leggings, the backside is squinched a little bit to give shape to different parts of, you know, your body.
Bottom.
It's really, yes, it really does. They do a lot of great things with jumpsuits these days. And if you're looking for one, they sell them.
Luce, I'm going to keep it a buck. We're leaving my cousins and I. We're leaving right after the show tomorrow. I'm literally borrowing my cousin's ski pants. So that tells you where
you could wear the jumpsuit on the show and get right on the flight and then you go or wherever you're going.
I don't know if it would arrive in time
for
that.
That's what I'm saying. It's tomorrow.
But he has put off his speed dating, Luce, for like 3 weeks. You could wear it to the speed dating.
Yeah.
You could wear it to the speed dating.
That's a first impression.
Luce, I bought it, and I guess it's technically not a speed dating. I got like this Thursday. Okay. I got this
go
Thursday.
Go to Princeton Sports. I got it going on a business sale. You can get probably a cheap jumpsuit.
Ski? Yeah. I guess I didn't think about that.
Right down the street.
Yeah. Literally across the street.
Yeah, there you go, Bob.
You could wear your ski outfit to the speed dating and say, sorry, just got off the slope.
Yeah.
You know, one of those days.
Have the goggles above his head.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. And you look kind of like you're tired and you're like, oh, what a long day of skiing. And there you go. Start the conversation.
Bummer. Would that work on you, Luce? Would that, like, hypothetically, if some random guy was wearing a...
That's literally her dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's... slope for you. I don't know any ski questions, so I
would. Black diamond,
that black diamond, yeah. The double diamond.
There you go.
Slope, yeah. Did you take the gondola back up the mountain? I don't know any other questions for skiing. Did you use poles? You know, something like that. You could start with
poles were used. Luce, before we let you go, a couple of NBA plays today.
Yes, I do have two plays tonight on two teams that I do quite like this season, but the Warriors is the first one. That I got at -5.5. It's now 4.5. They have won their last four games. They've covered their last four, and they have covered in six of their last seven. The Magic, they're playing the Magic tonight, and at home, the Magic have only covered in three of their last six games. So I like the Warriors tonight to cover. Also, the Lakers, -6.5 now, that is. The Lakers have covered in two of their last three. They won their last three. They are covered in five of their last seven at home. They're playing the Timberwolves, who have failed to cover in two of their last three on the road and three of their last six games. So I like the Lakers a lot tonight to cover as well.
Luce Burge, let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on social media at Lucille Burge, Instagram and Twitter, and on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern.
Awesome. Yeah. As always, Luce, thank you so much for your time. We'll chat
see you
next
on the slope.
See you on the slope.
Yes, I can't wait to hear about it. I will talk to you guys soon.
Take care. Coming up next, it's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM. What you got?
Well, we're getting closer to opening day. Gosh, is it almost a month away? Is it March 28th? We're almost a month to the day away from opening day, so we've been looking at a lot of different players. But how about Cedric Mullins entering the final year of control with the Orioles? What are our expectations with him? Could we see him bat higher in the lineup? We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Talked a lot about a lot of the Orioles outfielders. Well, what about one of the mainstays, Cedric Mullins, who has been here through the rebuild? And now when you would think of those quote-unquote old heads, if you will, the Santanders, Hayes, and Mullins, well, he's outlasted the other two and entering the final year of control as an Oriole. And first part of last year, Really bad. First 60 games, 532 OPS for said, but he did finish the year extremely strong. Last 87 games spanned 300 plate appearances, 834 OPS, 34 RBIs, 12 home runs, 19 stolen bases. But what is his role going to be now? I have found it interesting, and we're still barely even into the Grapefruit League season, not even a full week into Grapefruit League season, but he's batted third twice, and he's batted second once. He was slated to bat third in the game that was rained out the other day. So could we see him bat higher in the lineup than last year? And we know a couple years ago, he was used in that leadoff spot a lot. Last year, not so much. Only appeared in that leadoff spot six games. Extremely small sample size, but an 857 OPS. He batted second eight times, third two times, fourth three times, fifth four times, and then the vast majority towards the end of the lineup. But I just think when it comes to said, and they really did platoon him a ton last year because his numbers against lefties were not pretty, 506 OPS. But I would like to see him lead off batting right-handed pitching, assuming he gets off to a solid start, which he didn't last year. You get that speed in, and he's a guy that can bunt for a base hit, and we've seen that numerous times.
We did this exercise a few weeks ago, right? We came up, most of the time you're facing right-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. Our preferred lineup, not what we thought they would do, but what we think would be optimal lineup when you face your average right-hander. And I had Cedric Mullins leading off. And if it turns out that it doesn't work, then so be it. But I think it's time to find out about that, because I think with no Santander, that Gunner leadoff is suboptimal for me. And I don't see a whole lot of other options outside of said. I got to see a whole lot less swing and miss and a whole lot more get on base from Kowser at this young stage in his career before I'm willing to put him there. I know some people have suggested him because it's a left-handed bat and he's young and athletic, but I'm not putting that on him. Jackson Holliday's might be there by this time next year. I'm not even, like, he don't need that on him either. Let's just establish him as a consistent second baseman and somebody who can get on base at the major league level and contribute. We don't need to have him being, you know, the energizer bunny or the catalyst. To me, it's Cedric. And Cedric's in his walk year, and Cedric would relish the opportunity. And we've had Cedric on the show a million times over the years. And while he's always said, I'll do anything they want me to do, it's clear that he gets off on being the leadoff guy. And he had more professional at-bats than pretty much anybody on this team outside of maybe Gunnar Henderson from the point Jordan Westberg got hurt on through the rest of the year. So I would do it, but I think they play favorites, and I think they have guys who they want to wrap themselves around and guys who they're looking to rid themselves of. And I think you saw in the postseason, told you everything you need to know about what they think of Cedric Mullins.
And he drove in the only run.
Yeah.
With that being considered, though, his name was hot heading into that deadline last year in terms of possibly being moved. Could he be one of those major league guys that they're thinking about moving?
Now?
Not right now. I'm saying towards the deadline. Like,
I mean, they should be open to anything at any time.
That's a weird one now, though, because he's in his walk year. Like, if you're a buyer,
I'm 100% with
you're not. But I mean, they've sold, but they've never sold at the right time on anybody. Let's be real about that.
That's kind of my point.
They've always been a day late, a dollar short with that stuff.
That's fair.
It would be on brand.
That's fair.
If Colton Kowser gets off to a rip-roaring start and they think that O'Neill is going to stay healthy and they've still got Heston's power bat from the left side, I would never say never, but like,
I'm not saying
that's
I would,
that's a tough match to find, because we know what they're going to be looking for, right? They're going to be looking for a starting pitcher. And how many teams that are trading a controllable starting pitcher want a 31-year-old center fielder in his walk year?
Yeah. You're gonna have to add a lot more to that pot.
That's what I'm saying. How much does it goose the pot for them when they're more interested in your younger, cheaper assets?
To echo your point though, Jason, he should be their leadoff guy against right-handed pitching. Like Gunnar Henderson.
Don't knock it till you try it again.
Yeah, Gunnar Henderson should be batting
second, third,
like maybe Gunner second, Jordan Westbrook third. Like Adley should be more around fifth. I'm
with you there, but that's not how Adley's either second or third.
Married to the
You can't like bite your tongue, bite your lip.
Can't quit the bit.
This is not your thing, but say the rosary and you know sign of the cross. Like that's blasphemy. That's a heretic concept. Adley Rutschman not in the top three of your lineup.
I think he's got to earn it.
Impossible. Again. Oh, he's earned it. He earned it the day he was picked 1-1 ahead of Bobby Witt. Yeah. He earned it with the only guy who counts.
Coming up next, Maryland. What a gut punch the end of that game was last night. They lose to Michigan State. We'll recap with Chris Nockey. He was on the broadcast. Johnny Holiday, Walt Williams, right here on 105.7 The Fan. He joins us next.